What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. My name is Paul Abernethy, your host. I'm the CEO and founder of Electrical Code Academy Incorporated. We hope you check that out over at www.electricalcodeacademy.com.net or even .org. We'd love to see you. We have great programs on residential, commercial, grounding, and bonding. It's one of our more popular courses. And we have the Fast Tracks program, which is without a doubt the most comprehensive, extensive program to teach you the national electrical code, whether you're studying for an exam or you're somebody that's a leader or somebody that's the educator in your company or somebody that's the lead person in your company. We don't get paid to do things twice. We get paid to do things once. And you don't want to be a meathead. You want to learn, get the knowledge, not just pull cable, pull wire, but you want to understand why you do it. Then that's why you go to our programs. Okay. You want to learn residential and commercial, we've got programs for you. If you want to learn grounding and bonding so you do it right the first time, we got programs for you. If you want to learn the National Electrical Code, we've got a program called the Fast Tracks, which is beyond compare in what it provides you. And you also get access to me personally as your own personal mentor, but then you get to also join us on Wednesday nights for our live session. And sometimes those sessions can go 2 and 3 hours long. You can ask me any question that helps you understand the National Electrical Code a little better, and I'll do my best to answer that for you. I don't know where else you get that, okay? So again, all available to you. Just check out our website, electricalcodeacademy.com.net or even .org. Again, electricalcodeacademy.com.net or .org, and we can help you out. Okay. So on today's episode of Ask Paul, and again, you can submit your questions over at paulabernethy.com to get answered on an upcoming show. It says, Paul, please explain the difference between bonding jumper, equipment bonding jumper, main bonding jumper, supply side bonding jumper, and system bonding jumper. Okay, well, I'm going to explain them, but I'm going to tell you that they all have something in common. They're all tying metal parts together. Okay, that's what bonding jumpers do. Now, you could have a bonding jumper that's simply tying electrodes together, okay, like between ground rod to ground rod. The grounding electrode conductor stops at the first rod, but then you have the second rod, so that's a bonding jumper between the two, all right? You could have a main bonding jumper, which could be a green screw in a panel. You can have supply side bonding jumper that would be bonding the raceways on the supply side. Okay. So there's all different, or it also could be from a secondary of a transformer to the panel. That is supply side bonding jumper. And then of course you have system bonding jumpers, which is the connection between XO and the case, which can take place at a transformer, or it can actually take place in a generator, or it can take place actually at the first panel on the secondary side of a transformer. So you have all these definitions, and it's important to understand the nuances between them all. And so that's what we're going to kind of go over today. And as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to come to paulabernethy.com, put your question in the portal, and if you want to reference a previous episode, write that in there and say, Paul, I'd like you to explain this a little bit more detail. You talked about this on a certain episode. Can you go into more detail? Make sure you tie it with the episode so that I know kind of what we're talking about, so I can kind of not beat around the bush and get right to the point. Okay. So it kind of helps me streamline the process. But remember, that's why I'm here. I'm here to answer your questions, and I appreciate all of our students out there and everybody that's given us the support and helped us do amazing things. We really do appreciate it, and the growth in the last 2 years has been amazing, and we do thank you all for listening and supporting us in our programs that we offer in our courses. We, again, very much appreciate it. All right, so let's kind of look at each one of these. First of all, I think that we have to understand the concept of bonded first. And these are all definitions, by the way, that are in Article 100. Article 100 of the National Electrical Code is very important because these are definitions. You need to learn these definitions. And it doesn't mean you have to be an expert, but it does mean that you have to look at them. And if it generates a question or something you don't understand, reach out to somebody and say, can you help me understand this? Because we should be always thirsting for more knowledge, more information. And that's why I try to share what I learn, because I learn something new every day. Okay. I really try to make that one of my daily things, is to really look at something and learn something new and refill what I call my beaker of knowledge. Because over time, you forget things. It's just part of our human nature. Okay. If it's out of sight, out of mind, you forget. So you always have to be stoking that fire so that you can learn stuff. Now, if you're an electrician out there listening, thinking, Paul, you're too eat up with code. I don't want to spend no time in code. You need to wake up, because the day of the electrician who's just a cable jockey or somebody that does nothing but pull wire and run conduit and don't have any clue why you're doing it, the days you're getting outdated like the dinosaur. The generation that's learning today is learning all these things. We're teaching them. Other schools are teaching them. Vocational schools are teaching them. They're learning the knowledge part. The physical part just comes with experience. Anybody, I can train anybody to bend conduit. I can train anybody to do offset saddle bends. Once you show them and you bend enough pipe, you'll get it and you retain it. But when it comes to the knowledge, the book knowledge, that's where people struggle. And there's some great electricians out there who really struggle with the NEC. They are good electricians, but they just don't get it. And so what they do is they stay away from these tough topics because it stresses them out. Well, that's why we created the Fast Tracks program. I don't want you to stress out. I want you to understand the topics. It just makes your job easier if you understand these things. All right, so let's look at it. So what is bonded? The bonded is the process of tying two metal parts together. Let's say two conductive pieces together. I'm going to give you the definition, but I'm giving you a Paul's version. Tying two conductive pieces of metal, let's say, or two conductive surfaces together, that is the act of doing it is bonded. And the byproduct of that is once it's done, they are bonded together. The process is bonding. The aftermath is they're bonded. Okay. So what is it? What's the definition? Bonded, bonding is connected to establish electrical continuity. Continuity and conductivity. So obviously two metal parts, you bond them together, then they're both at the same potential. They're bonded together. They have continuity between each one, and they're establish a conductivity between the two pieces. So this is why we bond the straps on receptacles, two metal boxes, unless they're self-grounding. And then that's inherent in the design. There's a reason we tie metal parts together. There's a reason why we use all these bonding jumpers. And why we use equipment bonding jumpers, main bonding jumpers, supplies. There's a reason, there's a method to the madness. Okay? We're trying to tie everything together. Okay. Now, that's what bonded is. And once you do it, the act of bonding, then they're bonded together. Now, so the next one we're going to look at is just, let's look at a bonding conductor or a bonding jumper. What is it? Okay. The code says, and I should remind you, this is under the purview of Code Making Panel 5. I am on Code Making Panel 5, but in no means is any of my statements today an endorsement or anything from Code Making Panel 5. Absolutely not. This is all my own. This is me. Nothing to do with Code Making Panel 5, okay? Just want to get that established. Has nothing to do with that. So what is a bonding conductor or a bonding jumper? It is, quote, a reliable conductor to ensure the required electrical conductivity between metal parts required to be electrically connected. So let me give you an example of a bonding jumper, or you could call it a bonding conductor if you want. So when I run a grounding electrode conductor from my panel down to a ground rod, so in the National Electrical Code, you basically are going to install two ground rods unless you can prove 25 ohms or less, and then you could do one. And most of the time, people don't have a ground resistance meter anyway, so they're going to put two in 6 feet apart. But when you run the grounding electrode conductor from your service down to the first electrode, that's where the grounding electrode conductor stops. Now, to get to the second electrode that's 6 feet away, that's a bonding jumper or a bonding conductor between the two electrodes. Okay, so essentially, when you tie them together, it's all one system. But in reality, the grounding electrode conductor went to the first electrode, and then from there to the other electrode, that is a bonding jumper, okay? And so what is it doing? It's establishing the required conductivity between metal parts that are required to be electrically connected together. And that's what it's doing. So that's what a bonding conductor or jumper is. Okay. So next thing we would look at is equipment bonding jumper. Okay, so what's an equipment bonding jumper? All right, so an equipment bonding jumper is, quote, the connection between two or more portions of an equipment grounding conductor. Okay, so let me paint you a mental picture. Let's say that I have a set of feeders. Let's say it's three sets of feeders, and we're using an EMT as the equipment ground. Code allows you to do that in 250.118. And we're running it feeders down and we're bringing them up, and it's coming into the bottom of a switchboard or switch gear with an open bottom. So the raceway, which is being used as the equipment ground, is not physically being connected to the enclosure, okay, which is a metal enclosure, okay? And it's a feeder, so it's downstream. So these definitely, you'd have an equipment grounding conductor run. In this case, we're using the actual raceway. But what happens is, in that piece of equipment, you're going to have a grounded terminal bus. You're going to have equipment grounding terminal bus, I should say, for equipment grounding conductors, okay? Because it is on the load side. All right, and it's not going to be your neutral. That's isolated. This is going to be the equipment grounding terminal bus. All right, so how do I take that equipment grounding conductor, which in this case was the raceway that came into the open bottom, how do I get that fluidity of that connection from that raceway over to that bus? Well, that's when you would use an equipment bonding jumper. And it goes from a bonding bushing on the fitting that mounts on the raceway, and it'll have a lug, and you're gonna take a conductor from there over to the grounding terminal bus. And that is an equipment bonding jumper, okay? So sizing that, by the way, is still going to be based on going to 250.102D, which is ultimately going to send you back to 250.122, but you kind of got to know the flow. But it's an equipment bonding jumper. So your first thing you're going to do is say, well, if I want to learn the way the code is structured and can kind of get a better understanding of the flow, then you got to go and look and see what it says. So when you go over to 250.102D, you're going to see that it says equipment bonding jumpers on the load side of an overcurrent device. And then, of course, ultimately, it's going to send you to 250.122 and give you some additional instructions there, right? And it gives you some of the guidelines there. Now, it's important that we understand which tables to use. If it had been an equipment grounding conductor, then we would have gone straight to 250.122, and it's sized based on the overcurrent device that's ahead of that circuit, right? In this case, since it's an equipment bonding jumper, and it's bonding one type of equipment grounding conductor, which in this case, let's say, was the EMT, over to the metal enclosure, then that's an equipment bonding jumper, and we size that in 250.102D, which ultimately is going to send us to 250.122, but I just want you to know the flow, right? The flow of how that works, okay? All right, so that's what you got with that. And that's the best example that I can give you, because that's a load side feeder application, and that's an example of an equipment bonding jumper. Now, you could have an equipment bonding jumper because, again, the definition of equipment bonding jumper is the connection between two or more portions of an equipment grounding conductor. So in a box, I could potentially have the connection that's connecting multiple equipment grounding conductors together. That would be called an equipment bonding jumper, okay? All right, so the next one we would look at, let's say, is a main bonding jumper. Now, I'm sure all of the electricians out there are probably familiar with the green screw in your panel residential application. It comes from the manufacturer. It goes in the panel, and it goes through the grounded terminal bus into this pre-cut hole that has a certain number of threads, at least two full threads, and you screw that thing in, and that physically connects the metal enclosure to the grounded conductor, and that is required, okay, to make that connection at the service equipment. And that green screw that's physically making that connection is called a main bonding jumper. Now, without that main bonding jumper, let's say that metal enclosure gets energized for some reason, And we know that a circuit has to be a complete circuit. So it goes from the source, let's say a transformer on the pole. You got your service drop through the point of attachment, through the service point, down the service entry conductors, through the meter, into the service equipment, let's say. That grounded conductor must make connection to the enclosure, to all the equipment grounding conductors, and it does so via a common bus where you have a green screw, if that's what you have, over through it, through the metal enclosure, and that makes the connection between all of those components. Okay. Now, you have some situations in a panel. Well, let's say that the neutral bus is not connected to the enclosure, but it's still suitable for use as service equipment, but it has a separate bus that is connected straight to the cabinet. Then that might be the equipment grounding conductor bus. The connection between that bus and the grounded neutral terminal bus, that conductor that makes that connection between the two, that is a main bonding jumper. It is the one that's making the connection between the grounded circuit conductor and the equipment grounding conductor. Okay. That is the main bonding jumper. Okay. So it's so important to understand the concept of it and why is it so important. If I have to have a complete loop in order to allow the current to get to a certain point where it clears an overcurrent device in a ground fault condition, if I leave out that main bonding jumper and that panel gets energized, it could stay energized because there's a certain amount of resistance or impedance on an AC system inherent in that metal components that it might just act like a load and it might not clear. It eventually will, but it won't clear quick enough and creates a hazard. It can't clear an overcurrent protection device quick enough because it can't get back to the source, which is the transformer, right? So in our case, if we did not have the main bonding jumper, then it would take a long time to clear an overcurrent device and it may never clear it. However, you put that main bonding jumper in there, the enclosure gets energized, it gets back to the grounded conductor, it gets from the case to the grounded conductor through the main bonding jumper, through the grounded conductor that came from the drop, back to the transformer, it completes the circuit, it's a low impedance path, it allows the amount of current to skyrocket at the point of the fault. And what happens is it allows that overcurrent device to operate quickly and it's inversely proportional, okay? The higher the amount of current, the quicker that breaker is going to trip, okay? And it typically is 6 to 8 times the rating of the breaker to trip, but I can promise you, in an effective low impedance ground fault current path, back to the source and the whole process with the main bonding jumper and everything done right, your current levels are going to be much higher than 6 to 8 times that overcurrent device rating for it to trip. And so that means it's going to trip very quickly. And that's what we want. So that is the importance of a main bonding jumper. Okay. So that's why you have to make sure that it's there, it's established. Now, you don't want that downstream. Downstream from a service equipment, then you want to make sure you're running 4 conductors and you want to make sure your equipment grounds and your grounded conductor are separated. The equipment ground connects to the enclosure. The grounded conductor, in most cases when we're talking residential, it'd be the neutral. It needs to be floating. It can't be in contact with the metal parts, okay? Because that would create objectionable currents and circulating currents, and it could create problems. And again, it could energize metal parts that are not intended to be energized except for in a ground fault condition. And we don't want that. So we want to make sure we're separating it downstream. This is also why we do this for ranges and dryers. We run 4 conductors. And that, not what was allowed prior to 2005 or 2005 and earlier, today. What we got to do today to be safe, we need 4 conductors. We need to separate the equipment grounds from the grounded neutral conductors and keep that separation, okay? That's for a different show, by the way. All right, so again, reading it, it says main bonding jumper. It says the connection between the grounded circuit conductor and the equipment grounding conductor, okay, so that's that, or the supply side bonding jumper, or both at the service, okay? So a main bonding jumper, traditionally what we're dealing with is, in a main bonding jumper, is to allow for that ground fault to get back, come back, get to the neutral, get over via the main bonding jumper, get to the grounded conductor, get back to the source, which is the transformer secondary side, and it allows the overcurrent device at the service equipment to function properly and quickly and reliably, hopefully. Okay, so that's why we have a main bonding jumper. Okay, all right. Now let's talk a little bit about what's called a supply side bonding jumper. Now, the term supply side bonding jumper was previously, as you heard me say earlier, previously was defined in 250, Article 250, which dealing with grounding and bonding. But obviously, it's used in more articles than just 250. That it actually had to be moved to Article 100. And I should remind everybody, the 2023 code is in the process of being developed, and all of those definitions that are in the .2 of any specific article in the 2023 edition is all going to be moved to Article 100. So the number of pages that Article 100 takes up now is going to get larger because every definition is going to go there for the 2023. So you got that to look forward to as we start to finish up our work on the 2023. In fact, we're in the public comment stage right now, and we're doing our voting and meetings on that this coming week. And so we'll be working on that. So we're about maybe 2/3 of the way through the 2023's development process. Still working on it. It's too late for you to submit anything now, but you know, hey, it's we'll be finishing that up and coming out with it soon in the next year or so, next year and a half, whatever. And it'll be available. So we're making a lot of changes. All right, so let's talk about it. Supply side bonding jumper, what's the definition? It says a conductor installed on the supply side of a service or within the service equipment enclosures or for a separately derived system that ensures the required electrical conductivity between metal parts required to be electrically connected. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the ones that most of us are going to be familiar with, and we'll kind of show you what that supply side bonding jumper is. So let's say I have a piece of service equipment, and just like my example for the feeder, let's say I have a switchgear with an open bottom, and I'm bringing raceways in, service conductors in, up into the bottom of the raceway, of the enclosure, and it's an open bottom. So it's coming up through the concrete, and it's a metal raceway that's coming in. So we're required to bond those raceways, okay, 250.92, 250.90, all that service or supply side bonding requirements, okay? So it's coming up, and let's say they're metal. And so now I have to put what's called supply side bonding jumpers because it's on the supply side of the service disconnecting means, right? So I'm going to go from my grounded neutral point inside of the equipment, which is the grounded neutral bus, and I'm going to have conductors that go over to maybe bonding bushings that are on the top of these various raceways that come into the bottom of this open bottom switchgear or switchboard. So in that scenario, the connection that connects all of those raceways together, whether it's one single conductor that's looping through them, and you learn how to size those based on 250.102 C1 and C2, or you basically have one single conductor that's kind of daisy chaining through each of the raceways, or you have individuals that have their own supply side bonding jumper from the bus over to each one of the raceways. You can do it either way. And we teach you how to actually do that in one of our videos. But again, my videos are now only available for per subscription. So if you want to watch that video on grounding and bonding, you got to become a monthly subscriber. It's $9.99 a month. Well worth the investment. You also get a seat at all of my seminars. And so again, you're going to way get more than the value that you invest, and you're supporting our program and we appreciate it. So less than $120 a year and you're showing your support for us and we appreciate it. And we're constantly putting out new content and it's all available to the members. I don't know where you can get the value for that. You can't even buy a code book for that price anymore. Anyway, check it out over on our website. You'll see the membership tab. We'd love to get you in there looking at all our videos and stuff like that. Okay. All right, so in order to bond those raceways with service conductors over to the grounded terminal bus, those would be what's called supply side bonding jumpers. They're on the supply side. They're going to be sized based on the size of the service entrance conductors, okay? And we tell you the process of how to do that in 250.102C. And then you'll use table 250.102C1 in order to be able to accommodate the sizing. So that's how you would do that. Now, what about a separately derived system, transformer? So on a transformer, on the secondary side, we don't typically have an overcurrent device at the secondary transformer, but you have the secondary conductors that come off and they will terminate into, let's say, a panel. And a panel has a main breaker, let's say, because you got to protect the panel board. But let's kind of paint that picture. So you're going to run your derived conductors up, but you also at this point need to bond the metal parts together. Now, it could be a raceway that's already like a non-flexible raceway that serves this function, like an EMT or a rigid or something like that. But if it's a non-metallic from the secondary of the transformer to the panel, or if it is a flexible and it's over the length that permits it to be, or over the size limit that permits it to be an equipment ground under 250.118, then you're going to need to install a supply side bonding jumper. And that's going to go up to the actual panel. Okay. So, and now depending on where the next definition, which is the system bonding jumper, is located, is going to be whether or not you're going to make the connection to the enclosure, or you're going to isolate the grounded and grounding the same way you would downstream on a remote distribution panel. Okay. So I just want you to take away this. The supply side bonding jumper is for bonding raceways and metal parts on the supply side of the service disconnecting a means. Okay. So that's that. And you size that based on 250.102C. Depending on whether you run a single conductor for a single raceway, or you have parallel sets of raceways, two or more, or two or more cable assemblies like MC, and then you have and you want to run either an individual and loop through it, which we call daisy chaining, or if you want to run parallels, or and that's not really a parallel, but individual, I guess is the easiest way to say, individual supply side bonding jumpers to each one of the raceways or cables. You can learn how to size all that in 250.102. C1 and C2, if you want to learn that. And we have a video for that if you want to learn that, and I give you some examples. All right, so that's a supply side bonding jumper. But again, remember, secondary of a transformer, using a flexible raceway or a non-metallic raceway, then you're going to run of the wire type, you would run a supply side bonding jumper up. Or if it was a rigid, or if it was an EMT or something like that, then that would be a supply side bonding jumper, but that would be a non-flexible type, and that's okay as well. That would be fine. Just want you to understand the concepts of where you would see a supply side bonding jumper. Most people in the field are going to see this for bonding metal parts on the supply side of a service disconnecting means. Like those raceways that come in and you've got impaired knockouts, like eccentric knockouts, and they come in and it requires in 250.92, it requires you to put a bonding jumper in it. Okay. That bonding jumper is a supply side bonding jumper. Okay. And so that's kind of where you would see it in most cases. All right. So the next one we want to end on here for the gentleman who submitted this question is what's called a system bonding jumper. Okay, so what is a system bonding jumper? The definition of a system bonding jumper is the connection between the grounded circuit conductor and the supply side bonding jumper, or the equipment grounding conductor, or both, at a separately derived system. So let's think of a transformer. If you have a transformer, okay, and you're being fed from your source, let's say it's deep into the building, and you've got your primary coming in, and it's feeding the primary side of your transformer. Now, obviously, in this case, it's on the load side of an overcurrent device, so there's an equipment grounded conductor that's being run with your ungrounded conductors. And it's typically, in this case, probably no, depending on the system, if it's a 480-volt system, it's you're going to be stepping it to a 120-240 or 120-208. You're probably not going to have a neutral, so you're going to have ungrounded conductors on the primary side, and you're going to have your equipment grounded conductor. And you're going to come in, and the equipment ground is going to connect to the lugging at the bottom of your transformer, okay? And then, of course, you have your secondary side, which is going out of the secondary up to, let's say, another panel that's feeding whatever at the new voltage that you're transforming to. And you're going to have that supply side bonding jumper that makes a connection to that same terminal bus that the equipment grounding conductor connected to, and you're going to run that up so that it runs with the secondary conductors up to that secondary panel, okay? Kind of giving you that mental picture. Now, the connection between the XO, which is being derived on the secondary, the grounded conductor point, okay, that's the neutral point, that is where you're going to make a connection over to this bus location that has both the equipment grounded conductor connected and the supply side bonding jumper connected. That connection in the transformer, and that is typically where it takes place, that is called a system bonding jumper, okay? All right, so that's where that. Now, sizing a system bonding jumper is exactly the same as you're going to go to 250.102C1. You'll notice that in that table, it tells you, it says right in there, system bonding jumper. And incidentally, it says supply side bonding jumpers there as well, main bonding jumpers there as well, and even the grounded conductor there as well. Of course, grounded conductors have to handle the unbalanced load, but it can't be smaller than what's given in this table, okay? So you get all the directions for this. Now, that's when the system bonding jumper is inside of the transformer. Now, it could be not in the transformer. It could be in the first disconnecting means, okay? And that is typically might be up in the panel. Okay, well, if it's in the panel there, and in that panel it's serving the function, it's connecting the grounded conductor and the supply side bonding jumper, okay, or the equipment grounded conductors, or both, at the separately drive system. If it's doing it there, just remember, that's where your grounding electrode conductor to your electrode is going to go. If the system bonding jumper is located in the transformer, that's where you want to take your grounding electrode conductor from your electrodes to that location. It'll go to that same bus that the XO is connected to as well, all right there, okay? So that is what we have, and of course we could go into deeper detail about that, but that is called a system bonding jumper. Now, you also could have a system bonding jumper, let's say in a generator setup, depending on whether or not that generator is a separately derived system or not. Now, this is not a generator class, but I'm telling you, a generator is not a separately derived system if they're not switching the grounded neutral conductor in the transfer switch. If it's just a solid bus that your premise comes to and utility comes to, everything comes to a solid bus for the grounded conductor and it's not switching it in any means or breaking it in any means, then you don't have a separately derived system. You just have a generator. And if that's the case, you're still going to have your ungrounded conductors, your grounded neutral, and you're going to have your equipment ground run to the generator, right? And you're going to keep them separated. If the generator was a truly a separately derived system, that means that in the transfer switch, you would be breaking that neutral. So from the house, from the utility versus the actual source, alternate source of power, the generator, and then ultimately to the panel that this is all feeding, that's coming from the switching component of the ATS, it doesn't have to be an ATS. It could be a manual transfer switch. Obviously, in a 1 and 2 family dwelling, it's probably what it is. But at any rate, you have those options. If it's not switching the grounded neutral conductor, then the generator is not separately derived. So you want to keep it and treat it like it would be a remote distribution panel. You want to make sure that the grounded and the grounding do not come together. You only do that if it's a separately derived system. And so I teach people this. I say, treat that generator like a service when it comes to the grounded and grounding if you're not switching the grounded conductor in the transfer switch. So basically, that's a system bonding jumper. But if you were treating it like a service, even though it's not, that would be a main bonding jumper. But since the generator is not a service, those are just feeder conductors, and I don't want to confuse you, that's called a system bonding jumper. But that only takes place if that generator is truly separately derived, and hardly none are when it comes to 1 and 2 family, residential, the Generac, things like that. Now, some commercial applications, you can get a 4-pole where it's actually switching the grounded conductor. And if that's the case, and in some applications, healthcare facilities, that's what they want, then you do have a separately drive system and you have to be very conscious of that, okay? But in this case, if you're not switching the grounded conductor, then it's not separately drive system, okay? So it's kind of a little extra there. But that's what you've got. That's called a system bonding jumper. And it's literally making the connection between the grounded circuit conductor and in a transformer, it's the XO over to the point where you're actually making a connection to the equipment grounding conductors that are coming from the primary side and the supply side bonding jumper that's coming from the secondary side. You're making a connection from that XO over to that point. And basically it serves the same function as a main bonding jumper. It's just not a main bonding jumper because that is for this service. Okay. So hopefully that I've tried to keep it at 1,000-foot level, 2,000-foot level, 3,000, maybe 30,000-foot level. But that is the concept of the different types of bonding jumpers. Okay. So hopefully you've understood that. And as a kind of a catch up at the end here, I'll just give you a reminder. Grounding electroconductors to electrodes are sized based on 250.66. Supply side bonding jumpers, main bonding jumpers, system bonding jumpers are all sized based on 250.102C. Okay. Equipment bonding jumpers and equipment grounding conductors are ultimately going to be sized based on 250.122. So if you had to remember important tables in 250, 250.66 for the grounding electroconductor sizing, 250.102C, 1 and 2 for supply side bonding jumpers, grounded conductor minimum sizing, still got to handle the unbalanced load, but it's for at least can't be smaller than what's in the table. System bonding jumpers, that's all using 250.102, okay, C. Equipment bonding jumpers uses 250.102D, but ultimately that's going to send you to where? 250.122 based on the overcurrent protective device. Okay, so that's kind of a synopsis, and hopefully that answered your question that you submitted to me. If I had illustrations, that'd be great. I'd show you some, but it's obviously a podcast, so if anybody out there says, it would be better if you had illustrations, I'm sure it would be, but that's why this is a podcast. Until next time, folks, stay safe, God bless, and make sure you check us out over at electricalcodeacademy.net.com or .org. Get in our courses, get with me, subscribe to our videos and membership over on our website, and you can get access to all of our videos, all of our podcasts that are unique and special, the residential series and all that kind of stuff. We appreciate you. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.